The reading is from Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. In this passage, we experience God through the gift of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own tongue. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And who is that we hear? Each of us in his own native tongue, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others mocking said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I shall show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. It shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord.
Grace and peace be to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who stirs in the depths of our hearts. Amen. Our theme today is work in us. And I thought about how is God at work in us, and we can answer that question in a variety of ways, but the way that really struck out or stood out to me at the very first was that God works in us through the Holy Spirit. Reminds me of the story of a young man who really had a heart for God. His friends were questioning him about it one day. And one said, "Well, did you see a vision?" Another said, "Did you hear God speak?" The boy answered all those questions with a simple no. "Well, how did you know?" they asked. The boy replied, "It's like when you catch a fish. You can't see the fish, you can't hear the fish, but you feel them tugging on your line. I just felt God tugging at my heart." So that boy had a dose of the Holy Ghost. Well, Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit. In John 14, verses 16 and 17, Jesus said this, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. you know him, because he lives with you now and later will be in you. In these words, Jesus reminded his disciples that while the Spirit was already present in their lives, that after he ascended back into the heaven at the right hand of God the Father, the Holy Spirit would then come upon them in a full measure. But for now, they had a dose of the Holy Ghost. Jesus gives further instructions to his disciples later in that same chapter of John's Gospel, verse 26, when he says this: "But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything that I have told you." That time was fast coming when Jesus would no longer be with them and would turn his work over to them and to others who followed him. That was God's plan. And this was a part of their preparation before Jesus left. In fact, it's in Acts chapter 1, before Jesus does leave the building, so to speak, that he tells them to look for that promise of the Father, that promise of the Holy Spirit. And in verse 8 in chapter 1 of Acts, I love it. It's really a table of contents for the rest of the book of Acts and for the history of the early Christian church. Jesus says the first thing that's going to happen is that you're going to receive power, that wonder-working power through the blood of the Lamb. The Holy Spirit's going to plug you in, get you connected, full power. And once that power is turned on, Jesus tells them, then you're going to be set loose to share that good news of the gospel. First, he said, you're going to do that in Jerusalem. And you think, well, why there? If you go back to what Jesus instructed his disciples the first time he sent them out back in Matthew 10, he said this: go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So that was the starting place. They were to start with God's people, the people who knew the law, the people who knew the prophecies, the people of the old covenant. They were to appeal to them first to receive Jesus as their Messiah, to become a part of the new covenant through the one who gave his life for all, that all who believe in him might have eternal life. So start in Jerusalem. Then he says, go to Judea, then Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. So Jesus laid this foundation for them. He ascended into heaven, and his followers were told to wait. Don't leave Jerusalem. How hard is it for us to wait? We have to wait a lot of times in life, do we not? We have to wait in the gas lines, wait at the grocery store. And that's that self-checkout line. You still got to wait in that one too, right? We've got to wait for those doctor's appointments. We hope we want them tomorrow, but it's not till 3 months down the road, right? We wait for all kinds of things in life. So Jesus tells them to wait. And waiting is hard. But Jesus' followers didn't have long. It's Pentecost, as Daniel mentioned in the children's sermon a while ago. Pentecost means 50. So on the 50th day after the resurrection, it happened. Someone said it was like the comparison of a dripping faucet to a fire hydrant, or like a firecracker compared to a nuclear explosion. They were all gathered together in one place there in Jerusalem. And then boom, the first miraculous sign took place. From heaven, the text says, a sound came like a mighty rushing wind. I want you to note here, it's the sound that came and not the wind. Because you and I both know a mighty rushing wind can be very destructive. This was productive, not destructive. The sound was a wake-up call that God was doing something in a mighty way. The Holy Spirit has often been associated with the wind in the Bible. And here, it's calling attention to that third person of the Trinity, of the Godhead, coming to be with the church, and that promise that Jesus gave, the Spirit would be with us until Jesus comes back again. The second mighty sign was those divided tongues as of fire appearing and resting on each one of them. Kind of reminiscent of Moses and the burning bush. All the way back in Exodus chapter 3. You remember that, right? Moses saw the fire from a distance, and he was curious. He approached it, But it was a fire that did not consume the bush. So here again, these tongues of fire rested on each of these disciples, and it didn't even singe one single hair on their heads. Again, it was productive, not destructive. Their hearts, their lives were set on fire to have a passion for sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The third miraculous sign, and the one that would light the world on fire for Jesus, was these same Spirit-filled followers speaking in other tongues, other languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Pretty amazing when you think about it. You've got people gathered here, Jews from every nation under heaven, from Asia and Africa, Europe, and the Middle East. Now, all of them would have known Hebrew and some Aramaic. That's the language of the Old Testament. They would have known that. And most of them would have known the Greek language because that was the trade language of the day, much like English is today. But each one of these folks also had their own native tongue that they were born with, that they were raised with, that they were taught growing up. This is kind of like a reverse of the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11. Remember that story? God scattered the people and gave them different languages because they were conspiring against God. They'd come together to do that. But now God was doing a new thing. God was bringing people back together because Jesus had come to fulfill God's plan, to die for the sins of the world and to rise victorious over sin, death, and the devil. God's plan is to unite us together in Christ Jesus our Lord. So you have these signs that leave no doubt that God is present in these people's lives and is doing a great thing. This is the birth of the Christian church. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. And the church didn't get just a dose of the Holy Ghost. It was an overwhelming, outpouring, truly awesome experience. But Martin Luther talked about the work of the Holy Spirit in his explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. This is what he said. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But, he said, and here's the work of the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. He goes on to say that this work is multiplied throughout the whole church. As the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church, it keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. I want to point out we can't do this on our own. We can't do it on our own effort. We need the Holy Spirit to light that fire in us so that we share the good news of what Christ has already done and prepare people for when Christ will come again. In fact, that's the charge that Jesus gave us to his whole church at the end of Matthew's gospel, that great commission, and it's called a commission for a reason, because Jesus commissions us. He sends us out into the world to save the lost and to strengthen the saved. Matthew 28:19-20, go, he says, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, and there's that promise, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now this commission, this great commission, is not something that we just do in our spare time. It is the church's ongoing mission to boldly go where no one has gone before. Earlier in Matthew's Gospel 24, verse 14, we hear these words, this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to the nations, and then the end will come. So we got some work to do before the end comes. We've got to get the word out. And Christ leaves that task to us. One afternoon, there was an author who found herself on an airplane, seated next to a young man. She writes, I had already observed something about this young man when I was being seated. He called me ma'am. Well, after a time, I thought, well, either he thinks I'm ancient, or he's from the South where they still teach manners, or he's in the service. So I decided, she said, to to bet on that last one, that he was in the service. So I asked, "Are you in the service?" "Yes, ma'am, I am," he said. "What branch?" "Marines." "Hey, Marine, where are you coming from?" "Operation Desert Storm, ma'am." "No kidding, Desert Storm? How long were you there?" she asked. "A year and a half. I'm on my way home, and my family will meet me at the airport." She then commented that he must have thought about returning to his family and his home many times while he was in the Middle East. "No, ma'am," he said. "We were taught never to think of what might never be, but to be fully available right where we were." Let me say that again. That's powerful. We were taught never to think of what might never be, but to be fully available right where we were. Are we fully available right where we are to take on the mission that Christ gives to us, his church? It's not a mission impossible, but rather a mission that is fully possible. And all we need is that dose of the Holy Ghost. I mean, that's how the church is birthed. The Holy Spirit worked through these common, ordinary people. Remember the disciples? Four were fishermen. One was a tax collector. They were just common, ordinary people. But God used them, filled them up with the Holy Spirit, and set them on fire. God calls sinners and turns them into saints. This is not just about pastors and church leaders. It's about every person sitting here in the pew this morning, every person listening on the radio, every person out there on our live stream, every church that gathers today on this day to worship and give glory to God. Every one of us is called, gathered, enlightened, and sanctified, set right with God, so that we might share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that message of forgiveness of sins and that promise of eternal life. I know maybe you're scared about doing that. It's not that hard. And the place that we start, like the disciples started in Jerusalem, right? We start with our families, the people that we know the best. We teach our children and our grandchildren, our spouses. And then we extend that circle out, ever widening, to our friends and co-workers and acquaintances. And then, of course, like the disciples, we are called to take it then to the ends of the earth. It's up to us to do this part, to do this work. What God calls each and every one of us to do. So may God inspire us. May God encourage us. May God fill us. May God empower us with a full dose of the Holy Ghost